Welcome to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Meeting a new person is sort of like taking a crash course in learning a new language.
Did they mean that, what they just said, or do they think that's what I want to hear? What does that smile mean? I wonder if they'd like if I touched this part of their body, like right, nope, they do not enjoy that.
Trying to know what's inside someone's mind and understand their gesticulations and silent communications isn't an entirely intuitive course. On top of all that, what do you do if you don't have the bond of a verbal language in common either? How do people make that work? On their first episode, the podcast Love Me introduces us to a local couple who head into that linguistic gray area, heart first. Produced by a Radio A team of Mira Burt-Wintonic and Crystal Duhame, and hosted by radio reporter Lou Olkowski, the weekly show is a deep and sometimes unexpected dive into the messiness of human connection, and in this story, the complexities of telling someone how you feel when words aren't quite an option.
In 2010, I was in Haiti on an assignment covering the aftermath of the earthquake, and I was in Port-au-Prince in a hotel. I had only been in the country for a day. I was just sort of trying to get my bearings, but I had promised myself that I was going to go swimming. There's like a tiny, very old pool in the front of the property, and when I got there, there was this obnoxious group of French soldiers. And they were really loud, and they were, like, singing and drinking. And I was like, oh, man. So I got in the water and just sort of stayed to the edges, you know, swimming in, like, a tiny sad circle by myself, basically, because I was trying to stay out of their way. And when I would look over at them, mostly to scowl, there was this one who would, like, catch my eye. And within a few minutes, swam over to me. He spoke French, and I spoke English, so there was a lot of pantomiming, and then we would each try to think of a word in the other person's language that might get across. It ended up being more charades than conversation, honestly, and he told me his name was Nico. We ended up sitting on the side of the pool, and there was something about him that I really wanted to be by him. Kind of like a fire, you know? Like, you see a fire and you're like, I don't really want to be by that fire. But it was late. And I was like, you know, I gotta go to bed. I have to wake up early and go to work. I woke up the next morning and I had an email waiting from him. It started, "Hello, miss!" Exclamation point.
"Hello, miss.
How are you?
How are you? I was happy. Us. Encounter."
He had just typed out an email in French and fed it into Google Translate. We started just emailing each other back and forth. He complimented me on my beauty.
"You are beautiful."
"And my horn beam."
"Your horn beam is very appealing."
"What is a horn beam?" And he said, "Google Translate says it means charm." And I said, "No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It definitely doesn't." He was working and I was working, so we couldn't see each other. But we were writing like 10, 20, 30 emails to each other a day through Google Translate.
"I want your magnet."
"Excuse me?"
"There's something about you that's magnetic."
"Are you flirting with me?"
"Absolutely."
A couple nights later, I was sitting in my room, lights out, and then he knocked on my door. I moved the curtain over and peeked through, and he like popped his little head over and smiled and waved at me. And I think we said hello and that was kind of it. I know what I sound like when I say this, but we were in love. You know, we were like immediately in love. The next day, I had this email from him that said,
"I'm glad to have good to see you. I like the contact with your skin."
But then it ended with,
"I don't think we stay in touch."
I felt like I had been kicked in the throat. And so I wrote him back and I was like, "You're an a-hole." He wrote me back and it said,
"A-hole in Google Translate is not good word. I want to see you again. It's not the problem."
As it turned out, the French soldiers were not allowed to leave except for on like official assignment. So when he said we can't stay in touch, he meant like physically in touch. But of course in English, that's not what stay in touch means. He was still in Haiti for, I think, like a month and a half after I left. And when he went back to France, we graduated to video talking, but he still didn't speak English. So I would type a sentence in English. He would put it into Google Translate. And he would see what it meant. He would type his response back in, and then he would cut and paste that back into the chat window and send it to me.
"Bonjour. How was your day?"
We just would sort of chat in the same way that anybody does, just very, very slowly and excruciatingly.
"I had no time to clean, so my apartment is a horror house."
"I beg your pardon?"
"In French, bordel means messy."
"You just said your apartment is full of prostitutes."
"Oh no."
"LOL."
When his little face would pop up on Skype, I mean, it was just like when we were together in the pool. Like, everything felt, like, better and more secure and solid. Like, I felt solid.
"What is your favorite memory?"
"Meeting you."
The thing about talking to a person who doesn't speak the same language as you is that you really have to pare it down. I mean, there's no adjectives, right? There's no flourishes. You have to get to the point as simply and efficiently as you can. Even when we were talking about something very serious, you know, we were talking about, like, do you want to have children? Like, you can imagine backing into this conversation, right? Like, "Well, I have complicated feelings," and you would try to hedge it, you know, like sort of beat around the bush, but it, like, you don't have time for that when every single sentence has to be transliterated. You just say what you mean.
"I want to see you again."
"Me too."
We saw each other for the first time after Haiti 7 months later. We were both very scared about what it was going to be like. Like, what are we going to do without Translate? And this is before the day of the tablet. But we would go out to dinner, and on the table we had our water glasses, we had our wine glasses, we had our entrees, and we had our dictionaries. And less than a year after that second time we'd seen each other, he moved into my house in San Francisco. I had moments of doubt where I was just like, this is never going to work because we're never going to be exactly on the same page as far as communicating because there just is this barrier. And he was like, lots of people who do speak the same language don't know how to communicate with each other. Sort of like the end of that discussion. I was like, that's true. Okay, yeah, that's true. We've been married for like 3.5 years, and
Our relationship is like a married people relationship, but better, I think.
What does that mean?
I don't know. When you talk about like married people or like when you see movies and stuff, it's always about like something is not working and like they're getting divorced or.
Why do you have an idea that marriage is terrible for most people?
Because I'm French and that's how we see stuff.
I'm Mac.
I'm Nico.
I speak English.
Je parle français.
And we fell in love through Google Translate.
That was Mac McClelland and Nico Ansel speaking on the podcast Love Me from the CBC. If you love shows that creatively weave sound, stories, fiction, and nonfiction to explore human connections, then get thee to iTunes or Stitcher or whatever you use to listen to podcasts and subscribe to Love Me. I also highly recommend that you head to their website, cbc.ca/loveme, to watch a video that complements the story you just heard beautifully. And while you're there, listen to the full episode that this story was excerpted from. You're listening to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. As languages spread, mix, and mash across our planet, and more technologies are developed to try to untwist it all for us, the lines of language are getting blurred. According to the New York Times, almost half of the 6,500 documented languages across the world are projected to fall out of use by the end of the century. One of those endangered languages is spoken on our Pacific coast in Washington's Puget Sound region. In our next story, KUOW Seattle's Ben Gauld profiles one speaker trying to save it.
This is Lushootseed. It's a language spoken by many tribes in the Puget Sound region, such as the Muckleshoot and Puyallup. It's been around for hundreds of years, but it's in danger of going extinct. Only a few tribal leaders are fluent in Lushootseed. It's a hard language to learn.
Like, you hear people saying how amazing it is that you can speak it, how they wish they could, but they don't have the time.
This is Maria Martin, a teacher at the Tulalip Montessori School. The school offers classes in Lushootseed to children ages 3 through 5. She worries that the language she loves could disappear.
That's definitely one of my worst fears, is that it dies out and that nobody speaks it anymore, because that's a big part of who we are. And to lose that, it just seems that much easier to lose everything else.
When a language dies, more than just words stop being spoken. Stories stop being told. Songs stop being sung. Preserving cultural values and history is much harder without a way to share them.
How are you going to sing songs you don't know the meanings to? How are you going to provide any traditional connections, like, without the language? I feel you need to know the language, if only some of it, to really understand the whole culture.
She believes if Lushootseed is going to survive, it must carry on in the voices of youth. This is Maria's classroom. Today the children are learning how to count to 10. The lessons in Lushootseed provide a way for the kids to experience their cultural heritage, which they couldn't find in most preschools. Maria says the response from the parents and the community has been overwhelmingly positive.
You'll see video posts on Facebook, and it'll be their kids singing a Lushootseed song, or, you know, telling them some words in Lushootseed. And so you see that pride of the parents that, hey, my child knows this. That's something to be celebrated.
When Maria was a child, she attended the same school. She thinks that her time there has made her more in touch with her culture.
I hope to be the inspiration that some of my teachers were to me when I was growing up. I was lucky enough to start out in Montessori and learn some Lushootseed. But after I left Montessori, I didn't get much exposure. Like, it wasn't offered in school anymore.
Teaching the language in preschool is a good start, but Maria says that much more work needs to be done. The Tulalip tribes are working to train more teachers and get language programs into higher levels of school. But it's going to take more than just that. If the language is going to remain relevant, it must adapt to the changing lifestyles of its speakers.
Technology has changed. Words are now being used, so we're having to create new words for modern life. And in doing so, that's going to help preserve the language.
This is David Cinco. He's not a native tribe member, but he has been working with the Tulalip tribes for the past 10 years as a media developer. Basically, he's in charge of all the technological aspects of the tribes, managing the website, creating weather forecasts in Lushootseed, anything that helps to reconcile the language with the technology of today. For example,
Takad ti suf chislab
means turn off the TV, and
Ha'alik ched alti suf ayil ali
means I am typing on the computer. David is confident that Lushootseed won't be extinct anytime soon.
All the Lushootseed-speaking tribes are really putting a concerted effort, and they are starting to work together more readily. So I see that is not going to be a problem in the Puget Sound region.
Ultimately, it's up to the next generation to keep Lushootseed alive. After all, that's why Maria does this work.
The kids, they inspire me to get up every day to come into work. Next year, they might go on to kindergarten and forget all about me. But for that little bit, there was something there. And maybe they'll have the chance to take away what I took away.
For Radioactive, I'm Ben Gold.
That story was produced earlier this year in KUOW's Radioactive Workshop for High School Students. Learn more at kuow.org/radioactive, where you'll also find links to subscribe to their podcast. Listening to The Spot, KALW's weekly space for the best in public radio podcasts and storytelling. I'm your host, Ashley Ann Krigbaum. I've bookended this episode of The Spot with stories from couples. Apologies if you're not into that sort of radio, but this next story isn't too gushy. In fact, it might even be a little rough on your ears.
Oh, the yellow rose of Texas is the only rose for me.
You both were singing it.
Okay. She's the sweetest little rosebud.
Meet Jim and Martha, who at the time of this recording were celebrating over 50 years of marriage. And it was only a little while before then that they discovered a new language of love, one that needs amplification.
But the yellow rose of Texas is the only rose for me.
Right.
I really don't sing like that. No, that was my fake voice.
That wasn't her Patsy Cline voice.
When's the first time you guys did karaoke anyway?
Yes, 2 months ago.
2 months ago.
At Charlotte's. We were invited up there for dinner. And they had this gray machine with two mics. And they began singing country western. So Jim and I listened to them in awe, like, oh, man. And I said to myself, well, I can sing as good as her. And I said, I gotta have one of those machines. No, he has a nice voice. He has
a whiskey tenor.
He has a loving voice, and he has a wiggle when he sings love songs. He wiggles his little buttons.
Well, if you could see yourself, you wouldn't be laughing at me. Please release me, let me go.
I married Jim Dowling, and it was love at first sight, except really wasn't.
To waste our life would be a sin.
Oh, but Jim's the best. He used to come down and watch the fights with my father every Saturday night. They'd watch the fights. And I can't remember what I'd be doing. That's what he'd do. He'd come down to see me, and he'd watch the fights with my father.
Water near her lips are warm while yours are cold. Jim Dalton.
Who are you married to?
Martha O'Connell.
Okay. Here she blows. Oh, the shark babe has such teeth, dear.
Yeah. It was at one of her, it might have been at her graduation from nursing school. But in any event, it was a dance connected with that.
Yeah, out of sight.
Well, she must have said yes. See, I don't know really if I proposed to her.
Scarlet, yellow.
Would be giving her a diamond be the same thing?
Look out, old Mackie's back. Woo. Oh yes, my Uncle Ralph was into recording and taking pictures and things, and so he put a recorder under the bench that we knelt on when we took our vows, and it played and recorded.
I thought it was a friend of his.
Well, does that really matter?
I, James Michael Dowling, take thee, Martha Ann O'Connell, for my lawful wife, to have and to hold, from this day forward, for better, for worse, Martha Ann O'Connell.
It's the past, and too soon we forget the past, and we get so involved in the present, and then we're worrying about the future, that we don't remember how far we've come. Jim Dowling from Hinsdale, oh, they thought he was a cat's meow.
This is being recorded, you know.
Well, I'm saying what I feel. They really did, and so did I. I thought you were just the greatest thing, and you still are. Even sitting there in those rotten blue jeans and holes in your knees. And
I got some nice clothes, too.
Yes, he does.
Checking, 1, 2, 3.
Okay, here we go. Dangers in the night. If I can sing it. No. Strangers in the night, exchanging glances. Strangers in the night, what were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through?
That piece was made by independent radio producer Sarah Paul in 2011. I contacted Sarah to ask about how Jim and Martha were doing, but I didn't hear back before today's air date. I hope you're doing aces, Jim and Martha, and giving the mic hell. This one's for you.
See the pyramids along the Nile. Watch the sunrise on a tropic isle. Just remember, darling, all the while, you belong to me. See the marketplace and old Algiers. Send me photographs and souvenirs. Just remember, when a dream appears, you belong to me. I'll be so alone without you. Maybe you'll be lonesome too and blue. Fly the ocean in a silver plane. See the jungle when it's wet with rain. Just remember, till you're home again, you belong to me.
That's it for today's episode of The Spot. You can find this episode and more at KALW.org. Look for The Spot under the Programs tab. Is there a podcast you've just discovered and want to share? Tell me about it. Email me at thespot@kalw.org. And I want to thank everyone who got in touch with recommendations over the past few weeks. It's awesome to hear from you. I'm Ashley Ann Krigbaum. Thanks for listening. And tune in next Sunday, same time, for another episode of The Spot, only on 91.7 KALW San Francisco.